Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the TE Podcast by Developing Lafayette. My name is Ben Powers. I'm your host. And what we like to do with this podcast is we like to invite different business owners, different community influencers in Lafayette Parish that really highlight Lafayette Parish and what we're all about. On the TE, we have two local businessmen, entrepreneurs, people who are well-connected in the community, like most of the people I bring on. Their names are Ryan Cazares. Am I saying that right?
Cazares.
That'll work. Okay. And then Mick Essex.
Yes.
All right.
First try.
So, I've been practicing saying you guys' names. So, what I'm going to do is give you guys a chance just to introduce yourselves, a little bit about what you do, and then we'll just kind of let the conversation unfold there. So, without any further ado, I'll let Ryan go first.
Yeah, man. So my name's Ryan Cazares. I'm from Scott. I've grown up here, lived here all my life, except for the 4 years that I went to optometry school. I graduated from UL, went to optometry school at the University of Houston. And then in 2013, I started my own eye clinic in my hometown, Scott. And so we're 6 years old now. And looking to build our own building in a couple of years, so I'm pretty excited where that's headed, man.
So you started in 2013 with mm-hmm. your Scott Eichler clinic, okay? And then Mick, mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, I'm a recent Lafayette transplant, lifelong Louisiana resident, but moved to Lafayette in 2017 by way of Shreveport. I work for Advantage Health Plan. It's a health insurance issuer in Louisiana. I'm the regional marketing coordinator for all of South Louisiana. Also have a side business doing social media marketing and coaching called 146 Digital. I have a senior at Como High School that's going to be going to the Navy next year. And I just bought a house a few weeks ago.
Oh,
so
wow.
I guess I'm still a transplant, but I'm a permanent transplant.
About so that? You're planting some seeds. You're putting some roots into the soil.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's good, man. Look, I moved here in 2010, so I still feel like a baby in Lafayette because there's a lot that I'm still figuring out. There's tons of restaurants that are kind of deep in the corners of Lafayette that are like super good, but you never see them or you don't hear too many people talking about them unless you start talking about food and like the good places to eat. Mm-hmm. So I'm still learning some of the stuff. But Ryan, so I take it that you've been here forever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It feels like you were born here, raised here. So what keeps you in Lafayette?
Man, I feel like, you know, it's a big enough city to where, you know, there's plenty of things to do. I'm a musician, so I love the music here. But it's small enough that everyone knows everybody. So it's good to see, especially in small business, that we support the small businesses that open here, especially the restaurants that
right,
you mentioned.
Right.
So that's what I like. And then, of course, most of my family's here, and that's important to me. So
okay, yeah. Usually it's family that keeps kind of people. But, you know, some people like to just get a wild hair and just go off on their own, and that's it. You hardly ever hear from them. And they're like Los Angeles or Vegas or something. Mm-hmm. But, Mick, what attracted you to Lafayette? Like, was it job or was it the food? Because the thing is, it's usually the food, the people, and the culture here. So mm-hmm. what brought you to Lafayette?
Well, it was my job initially. We're headquartered in Monroe, and I was in the Shreveport office, and we'd opened one in Baton Rouge, and we were working on expanding south, and I knew that. So whenever the opportunity came up to come have a look, I didn't know anyone here. I'd been here maybe three times in my whole life, so my son and I came down for a couple days. And it just felt right. Same thing, music, food. There was a festival that weekend, I think, and then the next weekend, and then the next weekend, and on and on. And it just seemed like a place where I knew I wanted him to have the right cultural upbringing outside of the small town. And it just felt right all the way around. Like everything that I was looking for was going to be here. And
yeah.
I was right.
Well, look, I grew up in a small town too. Like I say, it's not even a town; it's a village, Turkey Creek. I tell everybody this. It was 400 people or less, I think.
I got you beat. Oh, wow.
Yeah. You got me beat?
We had 128 people.
Oh, wow. That's a big
in Transylvania, place. Louisiana.
Transylvania. Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me about that. I didn't know a place existed like that.
Not until I met me.
Most people
either.
Don't.
So is it a big Halloween town?
We have a bat on the water tower.
Okay. A bat on the water tower.
Yeah, we embrace it, man.
Do you have Ozzy Osbourne on the other side?
I don't know that I've ever seen the other side. Which you mentioned.
Okay. Well, that's neither here nor there. It's just funny. Ozzy Osbourne's in the news again due to Post Malone. So it's funny that, you know.
What was that story? I saw it.
Apparently, people are saying the young crowd think that Post Malone made Ozzy Osbourne famous.
Wow.
But in respect to their perspective, they're young. They may not know who Ozzy Osbourne is. He has been outside of the limelight a little bit. Post Malone's in the light, and so kind of brought Ozzy in, and everybody's like, "Ooh, who's this Ozzy Osbourne guy?" And so. I guess if you want to box it up into this year, Post Malone did kind of re-show the fame of Ozzy, but Ozzy Osbourne needs no help being famous. But yeah, so I want to kind of get a little bit deeper into, you know, Lafayette and you guys being here, and both of you guys are business owners or businessmen. You own a business. You own Scott I Care, and you've had that since 2013, and you're expanding into the new West Village.
Yeah, Scott? So Scott is building onto Apollo Road. Right now, Apollo Road goes from the I-10 roundabout in Scott, and it ends at Old Spanish Trail, where the new Scott Library is. Well, they're extending that road to go all the way to Lafayette, they're calling it West Village, the development there, and there's going to be a lot of businesses and residential area in West Village. So the plan is to build my own building. You know, right now I'm renting in the shopping center where the Piggly Wiggly is in Scott.
Right.
But the plan is to have my own building there, and I'll also have some extra space for other potential tenants. But to have my own building, you know, make that investment. And it's not, to clear it up, some people think it's going to be a second location, but no, we're going to move there.
Yeah, it's going to be a relocation.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You know, I've learned to make that distinction. Anytime I'm writing about a business, I have to ask them, is this a new, separate location that you're going to be keeping the old location, or is it going to be a relocation, or are you completely moving? Because I've made a mistake a few times early on getting that mixed up, but... and Mick, so you said you work with Vantage Health Plan, so that is a large company.
Yeah.
So what do you do there again?
I'm a marketing coordinator.
Okay.
It's a bunch of stuff. So I actually do visit with people and businesses and help them make insurance choices and help them navigate health insurance for their business, or even if it's just an individual or someone that's on Medicare also. And then I do prospecting. I show up to a lot of things. My job is to build the brand, to make the name more recognizable in the South, since we've been available here for a long time, but we just recently started to commit actual collateral to the area, and so that's what I was brought on to do. And I do all of our digital marketing, social media stuff too.
All right. So with y'all's line of work, Are you guys in any type of organizations or things that like are involved with other business owners? I think you guys are both with 705, but what other organizations are you guys involved in?
Yeah, so the 705 is my favorite, you know, local organization. I love everything about the 705. Also One Acadiana, Scott Business Association. Those would be probably the primary three. I don't know about you, Ben.
Well, yep, kind of the same. I do a lot with One Acadiana as an ambassador and on their board. But because I cover a large area, I do the same in like Charles, Baton Rouge, Houma, Thibodaux. I go to all the colleges and speak on certain panels for related to health reform, Affordable Care Act, things like that. But locally would be One Acadiana, also 705, also my favorite. Those are really the main two that I do most of my stuff. Council on Aging, I do some work with those guys as well.
Okay.
And Lita, and anybody who'll talk to me, really.
Right. Yeah. So I want to quickly bring up a situation, something that happened with a 705 article. All right, not a sanctioned article from 705, but an article written for or on behalf or something to that effect from a news source. So it was talking about the 705 wanting chains or big chains, or I briefly read over it, but could you guys give me a high up view of what was, I guess, the goal, if there was a goal for the 705 and regarding chains coming into Lafayette? Because I know we have tons of chains in Lafayette. So maybe give me a little bit of perspective on that.
So I think it was going to be a collaboration between the Advocate and the 705. The Advocate had an idea of, if you could be a economic developer for a day or a week or a month, what businesses would you like to see come in?
I mean, that's
in?
An honest question.
It's an honest question. It's something that, I've probably even thought about,
Right.
This was brought up at a board meeting that I missed, and I probably would have disagreed with going forward with this, because we have a lot of small business owners in the 705. And being a 7-year member of the 705, we've harped a lot on small business and entrepreneurship. We've even had meetings at different local small businesses. I just felt like it didn't really line up with the vision and really what we do as the 705. And so I was a little heated when the article came out. I'll admit that. But I will say that I'm the biggest advocate for the 705. If you're not familiar with it, it's a group for young leaders in Acadiana, young professionals. When I moved back from optometry school from Houston, I felt like I really wasn't on the same page with my high school friends, maybe even some of my college friends. And this, the 705 connected me with other very like-minded people in the same stage of my life. It was awesome. All of my close friends are from the 705. I just thought the article was just a little misaligned with our vision and what we're all about. And so I was a little heated about it, but I posted about it on Facebook, and we had a good little debate amongst our friends and members of the 705. But basically, I'm a little biased because I'm a small business owner, right? And I know how hard it is to build something from scratch. I mean, it is hard work.
Look, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
I have a small business as well, and it's hard.
And you have a very unique small business, and I think it's awesome, man.
I think we all have unique small businesses. We have certain personalities that we put into our own businesses that usually bigger companies miss out on because they're trying to appeal to a larger amount of people. But Mick, what is your take on the article? And because I know you're from a small town, I'm mm-hmm. from a small town, and our perspectives on what we would like to have in Lafayette may be a little different than someone who's lived in Lafayette mm-hmm. all their life. So, what is your perspective on the article?
I feel like I kind of have a unique perspective, because even though the company I'm with now, we're closing in on 2,000 employees, we started with 6 in Monroe. We had one policy and one doctor that took it, and that was pretty much it. As we've grown over time, we're still not a chain, and we never will be. We'll always be, considered a local company. As we continue to grow, of course, we added jobs. It all depends on what business you're talking about bringing in, too. So as we grew, other small businesses were able to come in and build around, because we were buying up a lot of the old buildings that were just sitting there vacant, opened them up, rehabbed them, and then we had more locations for small business owners to actually occupy around our central area downtown. So even though we started out as a small business, we moved into a much, a much larger company. In fact, in 2015, I think it was, we were the second largest growing company in Louisiana.
Oh wow!
So we doubled in size in 12 months. So that's an example of how a small business turns into a larger one that then can bring along other small businesses. I think it depends on what chain you bring in. If it was something that could bring in jobs along with tax revenue, you're going to have home sales. You're going to have all these other things that come along with that. But it depends on what large business that you're talking about, depending on what their what their goal is. So they're both necessary. I mean, I have a small company too. I don't necessarily have to work just with local people, but I've started a business from nothing too. And they're both super necessary. I don't go to a lot of chains if I can help it, because I like to support the little small businesses too. Got my eyeglasses for my son from this guy.
Oh wow.
So but I think that one is required as much as the other is, if you're going to attract. That's what economic development authorities are all about, is to attract those large companies in that can boost everything else that comes along with that. So it's not that I'm anti or pro one or the other. I feel like, and I think we would all agree, that it takes both, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. To add to that, I mean, you can call me a hypocrite, because, I mean, I'm about to get McAllister's with my sister after this. And, you know what I mean? I enjoy...
Wait, we have hypocrites in Lafayette? Oh, come on.
You know, I enjoy going to Whole Foods to get groceries, but, you know, at the end of the day, I love to support the local businesses, because, again, I know how hard it is. And, again, I know that when you support a small business, most of the money you spend there is going to stay here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say you go to a local restaurant and they source their food locally and their employees are from here. It's just better, you know, to give my money, yeah, to someone local. So,
I have my own kind of perspective on for me, in my line of work, what a chain is and what a local business is. So I get really upset because the way we make money is advertising, and advertising is a hard business, especially when you can't compete with the big guys like the Walmarts of advertising, Facebook and Google. Mm-hmm. So when I'm out there trying to sell to a small business, and I'm specifically targeting a small businesses because of their what they have to offer, I feel like I can align their business with our following, because I know our following, and I know they would flock to this business. And so I try to like target these businesses, and they're like, oh, we don't, you know, you're expensive, man, that's a little high, or, you know, I'm not ready to commit. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I let them, you know, give me the rejection, and I take it in stride. And then a short time later, I see ads on my website or on Facebook from that company. And I'm like, okay, all right. Look, I get that you need to spend money wisely. You want to spend the least amount of money possible. But you're also preaching. You're on your Facebook page, in which you have an ad showing up on Facebook that you're preaching to support local. Now, which way is it? Do you want people to support your local business? Or are you also supporting local businesses? You know, which, you know, I'm trying to find the thing in it, and I'm looking at myself, I'm like, maybe my prices are high. I don't know. Like, I think I'm comparable to the newspapers and the TV, and so I'm like, okay, and I feel like I have something to bring. But I'm conflicted with how Facebook and Google can just be like super cheap, and like you can throw $10 at Facebook and reach a couple thousand people, and I'm like, can do that too, but it's not going to be $10.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's going to be different.
It's interesting how, you know, tech companies have, you know, they have tons and tons of investors. So think it, sometimes I think it doesn't matter if they're profiting or not on some of their ventures. You know, so
Tech companies aren't. Most of them are not profitable.
Yeah,
I think Uber. You could take Waiter, our local tech company. Mm-hmm. I think they're. I don't know if they're still technically local since they're public now, but they started locally. I don't think they're profitable yet either. So it's tech companies are interesting, but yeah, anyway, that's my beef. No, I want to go back to chains and local businesses. So you were shaking your head saying that, you know, it's somewhat in agreement that we need both. And why do you feel like we need both? Cause so there may be somebody listening who's adamant about only going to local businesses and like basically putting up a hex against Walmart, which like, Walmart's not the most friendliest places of all time, but I guess what is the need or what is the purpose of a chain, and why should someone feel like they shouldn't be exiled for going to a chain? Like, because most people like Olive Garden. If you don't like Olive Garden, it's because
I don't like Olive Garden.
Well, look, you like their breadsticks. You told me you like their breadsticks and salad.
I do enjoy it as a last resort.
Correct. Yes, I get it.
I go to Olive Garden. I don't.
Let me tell you a little bit about Olive Garden, and then I'll let you guys kind of unfold. So, coming from a small town, we had nothing. There was nothing to eat except at a gas station. We had hamburgers and chicken tenders. Mm-hmm. I was a teenager, okay, and I'm watching my favorite show on MTV, trash TV, and all this good stuff, and I see an ad for Red Robin, and I'm pissed off because there's no Red Robin ever in Louisiana at that time. I'm like, why are they advertising here? But I wanted it. Olive Garden, our big trips for our family, our big day out was to Lafayette. We went to Olive Garden, we went to Best Buy. For us, that was Lafayette and the mall.
Yeah,
we didn't go downtown because we thought downtown was nothing but bars. And for the most part, at that time, it kind of was. It was a lot of bars. Now there's tons of restaurants. But for us being small town people, that's where we got our exposure from, is those big companies. And that's what brought us to the towns that we thought were amazing. Because any town that had an Olive Garden, in our perspective at that time, was an amazing town. Like, we wanted Alexandria to get an Olive Garden for years. They are never going to get an Olive Garden, at least not that I know of. So, for people that are looking to move to Lafayette, or have just moved to Lafayette, you just moved to Lafayette, like, they may only know the chains. So, what would you say to those people who probably would like to support a local business? What would be your first advice to them if they approach you? Is like, hey, I'm looking at, trying to explore Lafayette, but all I know is Olive Garden and Best Buy. Like, what else is here?
Let me come in on that first, because it's, as you just said that, it made me think of something. So whenever I first came here, I lived on Kali Saloon right by the Bayou Church whenever I first moved here. And so I was in the middle of every chain, pretty much. Right. Lafayette has, it's all right there. Very quickly, I only wanted to go to local places. And as I'm sitting here listening to you talk, thinking about it, I feel like the only reason, or the main reason for that, is how well Lafayette promotes its small business already. Because I've lived in a lot of towns all over the country. And as soon as I got here, I had every chain at my disposal, and I still go to them. But I very quickly wanted to go see what all these, especially, like you said, downtown on Jefferson Street. The first place that I went when I moved here was the Worst Beer Garden.
Yeah.
That was the first place that I went, and it was summertime, so it was hot, and it was still awesome. And I'm like, this place is going to be so cool. And then after that, I wanted to go to a small business as much as I could. So I feel like the main reason for that is that Lafayette does a good job of promoting its small businesses to it, as much as it possibly can.
Yeah. Right.
I like to say that, small businesses are kind of responsible for your city's cultural identity. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I just came back from New York, and there was a giant, the biggest Olive Garden I've ever seen in New York. But I didn't want to eat there because I can get that here.
Right, you can get that here. It tastes the same, probably.
Yeah. And so I'm looking for something unique to New York, and we found a few restaurants. So when people come to Lafayette, I like to promote the local restaurants. It's what makes Lafayette Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Olive Garden doesn't make it Lafayette. Not to hate against Olive Garden, because they still... they still generate tax revenue for us.
Yep.
They still provide jobs. The jobs probably have benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Small business, I can attest to how hard it is to afford benefits for employees. We just made 6 years, and I'm just now being able to afford health insurance for my employees. So, chains can come in and provide those type of benefits for employees right away, and I think that's important. That said, support your local businesses so that they can get to that
point. Right,
sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
I had a thought, and it swiftly left my mind. So, trying to get to that point, Todd. Oh, man.
Yeah, I talk about small businesses and their health insurance every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
Especially, so there's an actual line that's considered a small business in the eyes of the government. And it's 49 full-time employees, and the formula for what constitutes a full-time employee is super long and boring, but it's not just a 40-hour work week. There's a whole mathematical equation. So if you're a small business under that threshold of those many, your health insurance plans are rated by age completely. So let's say you have four employees that are 25 and you have four employees that are 55, you're going to pay twice as much as he is, because in the eyes of insurance being a risk mitigator, 25-year-olds are generally more healthy than 55-year-olds are. So that's how, below 50 employees, that's how health plans are rated, is based on age, where you're at, where, you know, where you're located in the country. Louisiana has the highest insurance rates in the United States because we're the sickest state in the United States. So as a mitigation of risk, no different than somebody who has three DUIs, they're paying more for car insurance than I am. Same exact thing. So if we have a sicker population and an older population, and we have the highest rates of diabetes, heart disease, obesity, health insurance is going to be high. Once you get over 50, it's a whole different ballgame because it's specifically underwritten, and I'm not going to bore you with insurance stuff, but over 50 is a whole different scenario. And the big companies, they're considered a corporation, right? So Olive Garden might have 9,000 employees, for example. So their health plan is rated based on that. Small businesses, they don't have that luxury until they hit that 50 employee mark.
That's interesting. And obviously you know this because you're in the health business.
Yeah, I talk it every day.
Right. So I while you were talking that great point, I did come up with my...
Did you have time to figure
yes,
it out?
Yes, I regained my thought that I lost. So one of the things that I struggled with when I first moved here with some of the local restaurants was approachability. I don't like to go to, this is just me personally, I don't like to go to a very many restaurants, much less a local restaurant where I feel like I don't know anybody. I feel like local restaurants are like, oh, you know this person, they know you. And I felt like I was an outsider for a while in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt weird to go to a local business, a local restaurant, to sit by myself. Now, if I'm with a couple of friends and they say, hey, let's go try this place. I think, is it Bangkok Thai on Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Hole-in-the-wall place.
Super delicious.
Excellent. So good. And look, don't get Thai hot. Say, so I was warned by that. You get the medium or something like that if you want to keep the taste buds. But I would have never gone there.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for my coworkers saying, hey, there's this great spot. We're all going to go there. You know, it's for so-and-so's birthday party. I'm like, great. But to go there by myself, like, what I'm getting at is approachability. Because there's some places that have this personality of being pretentious and like, you know, oh, look at us. We're a local business that has these fancy things. You know, some people are not fancy and some people don't know people here. So, like, I guess like that, I'm trying to get to a place where I think that people that are moving here that may be skittish about going to places, because the other places like Olive Gardens and all that, they're advertised as approachable. Like,
yeah,
freaking Olive Garden, when you're here, you're family. Well, cool. Somebody from the small town is like, you know what? I can go there and feel like I'm not like being looked at weird. But if I was to, like, for example, I love Rev Coffee. But when you go there, you feel like you're surrounded by some very interesting people who, like, I feel like they're doing stuff. Like, yeah, they're having meetings and, you know, just going by yourself. Like, for me, I'm like, people are doing stuff, serious stuff here. And I'm like, I just need to go to the CC's where, like, there's, like, the mom walking in and leaving. So, like, what would you say to somebody who's finding it hard to...
That's exactly what the 705 did for me, honestly. When I first moved here, I made two calls. I called the Chamber of Commerce, which I found out was called One Acadiana. And then I called 705. I looked up the 705, and fortunately, the president at the time, Patrick LeBeau, was, he and I used to work together. We never had ever, actually never met. We worked in two different locations, but worked electronically. And I saw him, and I'm like, I'm making that call. And I went to a lunch meeting at Zia, and I met Chris Lofstrom, current president, and Patrick met me at the door. And I didn't feel like an outsider since then, because everything that I do, every place that I go, all of my best friends are in that group. And they didn't make me feel, and I think that's part of it, because we are young, everybody's in the younger part of their career. Don't stare at my gray hair and my chin.
I got one right here.
But no, that's what that did for me, is that it gave me a group that welcomed me even though I wasn't a young professional,
right.
I was still accepted. And that's, it's the center of everything that's happened positively for me, kind of morphed from that. So that would be my suggestion. If you're new to town or you just moved here, join the 705, and it's a lot of good people, a lot of fun.
So the 705, what's the age range on that? Because you say a lot of young professionals.
It's open. Yeah, it's open to anybody. The voting age, like when we have to vote for board members or any type of motion, it stops at 45. So, I mean, it's aimed towards young leaders in the Acadiana, but really, we're really welcoming to pretty much anybody.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm only 33, so...
You fit the criteria.
If I ever wanted to join it, I think Kevin Guillory, he's also part of it, correct? He mentioned it to me if I ever wanted to, but I'm thinking about it because there's a fee, correct?
Yeah, I want to say it's $125 per year. But you get a lot with that. You know, we have four regular meetings every month. We have a coffee with, which we'll have coffee in the morning at the ACA with, you know, an important leader in the area. Sometimes it's the mayor. Sometimes it could be someone from UL.
And do y'all have a chance to ask them questions? Exactly. And like, is it back
it's
and forth?
Record, it's off the record. It's at a small table with maybe 20 people. Yeah. So that's really awesome. There's a lunch and learn that happens about once a month where we talk about topics like promoting yourself on social media, developing your leadership skills, networking, things like that. There's a monthly social, which we had one a couple of days ago where we did some wine tasting. We'll do very... very unique things like we'll go you know,
with the ice skating ring,
ice skating,
we'll go kayaking in a couple weeks.
We're gonna go kayaking in a couple weeks. So we do random social,
and this is all you guys. So for the 125, that's included, or you guys have to pay separately for like kayaking?
Yeah, so
the kayaking,
yeah, the kayaking is its own thing, but for your membership fee, you get all of that. And then, of course, we have a monthly meeting. This month, it's focused on the mayor-president race. We're having a forum. But we talk about many different topics, you know, local business, local leadership, a lot of things that we talk about.
In fact, just a few months ago, GMFS Mortgage, they came and talked about financial responsibility, and that's who my mortgage lender is for my house. So that's... It's just really, I mean, that's $10 a month basically, and one meal at Fizos is going to cost you more than $10. So it more than pays for itself for sure.
Okay. You know, for $125 a year, I think I'm going to really consider that because I thought it was a lot more. I guess I could have done my research, and I think I did a while back.
If you give up two Rev coffees a month.
Two. That's how you know. Those are some pricey coffees, but
delicious.
Bro, but I think he'll make enough connections through 705 where he'll get more business and he can keep getting that.
You're selling me. Exactly. You're selling me.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I would say. The tremendous value in it is that I've met other local small business owners and I use their business and they use mine.
We all do business with each other.
Yeah, we all do business with each other. Chiropractor.
CPA.
Yeah, CPA.
That would be the advice to someone who's new to town to get plugged into an organization that has other business owners, local business owners that are meeting at least once a month or more, you know, like the 705 or some of these, is it B&I groups or something like that? I know there's a couple.
There's a few out there. I'm not sure. Nate Moore has a group that meets, I think it's called Masterminds.
Yeah, I actually, and it's, what's good about Nathaniel Moore, I've had him on the podcast a couple times, his thing at Shalosky's is free for anybody to go to.
Right.
He does have a conference he does, like, every year where he, like, does a little bit more. He gets in depth. He helps people kind of, like, overcome certain obstacles in their life and trying to get started. But, yeah, Nathaniel Moore's got a great thing going.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to one of his Shalosky meetings.
Well, man, so I have a question. We're at 35 minutes here, so we're going to start wrapping up. And then I'll let you guys, if there's something you want to talk about, I'll let you mention it. But going back to the 705 and the Advocate article with the chains, if there was a business, it could be locally owned in a sense or a franchise or a chain. If there were anything that you would like to see in Lafayette, that's you would, I guess, in your opinion, would seem feasible, what would it be?
I think we both agree on that.
Right. Well,
like which one?
The one that comes to mind in my like right away is, you know, the farmers market that we have every Saturday at the horse farm, or what it is to be Moncas Park. If that was something that was open every day, I would shop there every single
day. Oh, yeah, every day.
I would go.
It is so hard for us as a small family. I have a little boy to make it there in time.
Right.
And my little boy, he, you know, on the weekends, we're so tired that we just want to let him, like, rest, and we want to get our rest, and I want to go. And then by the time we get out of the house and everything, the farmer's market's closing up.
Yeah.
But if it would be every day, I'd be there all the time.
Because I'd get my groceries there every week.
So,
but there is a similar concept coming downtown. I don't know if you've heard of the, is it called the Handy Stop?
Handy Stop.
Is that our friend Bradley Cruz is opening that?
Yep.
It's going to be a locally sourced grocery store downtown on Jefferson Street.
So I wrote about that. It's a big deal for downtown.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
And he's going to have like some healthy pre-made foods and all that good stuff. So like you can go, come grab a quick lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's That's morphed quite a bit. I almost invested in it a while back whenever he was first kind of talking about it. And it's all the ideas that are coming in. Is there, I think he's supposed to be doing like a small lunch menu, kind of like a grab-and-go lunch thing that wasn't part of the original plan. So he's really doing well at taking, you know, feedback from other folks in the community of what it could be. And when I first came here, I Shreveport tried to revitalize their downtown, and it didn't. They got it backwards. And the big problem is because there wasn't a grocery store-style thing downtown for the people that lived downtown to shop. You still had to drive in and out of downtown to get groceries. And then, sure enough, there's going to be a grocery store now. So that's going to be a huge boom for real estate, downtown real estate.
Oh, yeah. What's interesting is Lafayette, we have the Handy Stop coming, but there's also downtown Lafayette, and we got real estate coming up. We got some, I think we got two or three projects that are being built. I think two for sure that I can think of the Vermilion Lofts, is that right? And then Buchanan Heights. Those are going to be some very close to downtown, like walking distance. One of them doesn't even have parking spaces. The other one does.
Mm-hmm.
But the grocery store is not open yet. So like when people move there, if they don't have a car, where are they going? You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting how downtown is developing. It's kind of like downtown needed small businesses to open there for residential to open there, but the small businesses needed residential to open there. So it's awesome to see that they're simultaneously kind of coming up and reviving downtown. I'm excited about it for sure.
I'm pretty sure Vermilion Lofts is just phase one too. I think there's two and three also that are behind that. So I may be wrong, but I think that was what I heard, that it was in discussion. For other, you know, places around where it's going up.
I have no doubt that there's more coming. This is the first phase of many other phases of everything happening in Lafayette as a whole. And so basically, to go back to, if there was anything to come to Lafayette that you would like to see, is basically expanding the farmers market's hours and accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that what you agree with, or was there something else that you were thinking?
The way I took the question is that if we were to pick like another big box store, for example.
It could be a big box, it could be a franchise that's
Well we were just talking about a Trader Joe's before we got on air. How cool would it be to have a Trader Joe's here? So
it's primed. We are primed to have it. I just don't know. We were going to get one.
I was gonna say, I'm sure the discussions have been had.
Oh, it's been had. You know where Red Robin is right now by Costco?
Yeah.
It was gonna go there. But something happened. You know, real estate, you know, ebbs and flows all the time and deals fall through, but it was supposed to go there. So Trader Joe's is primed for the area, and I think they were looking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the discussions are happening at the moment, but
you're supposed to know all those things, man.
Look, I know a good bit.
Developing Lafayette.
I know a good bit, but there's a lot that I don't know, and there's a lot of people who know that I know a lot that they keep me out. And keep me
okay until it's time.
They keep their mouth shut. I like to keep my mouth shut whenever I'm told to. closing statements. We're at 40 minutes. I want to give you guys a chance to bring up a topic or say something that you want to say to anybody that's listening. And I'll give, I've been giving you your first shot. I'll give Mick the first shot right now. So,
man, I'm not ready.
You're not ready? Okay.
Let's see. Go Cajuns. I've got a home game tomorrow night. We're doing a giveaway, advantages during each game, where we have chosen a specific local business only to, we will buy a gift card or something from these businesses as a giveaway. We want to, as you say, we want to boost engagement. So we've chosen a number of local businesses for every home game this season. We'll do a giveaway. Typically in the second quarter is whenever it's going to be announced at the game. And then there'll be a post on Facebook, and all you do is like it and tag two friends, and then we draw on Mondays. And we got some really fun stuff. Good Eats Kitchen did the first one. I've been in talks with Go Run. I Love Kickboxing. Tsunami Sushi, of course. And also, you want me to talk about the race, or do you want to?
Oh, go for it, man.
Okay. So we're also doing the Adventure Race of Acadiana to benefit the Refinery Mission. Michelle Bergeron with Refinery in Opelousas is next Saturday, and it's going to be kind of after the TV show style, where he and I are on a team together, and we're going to be going all over Lafayette Parish doing fun stuff and raising money for those folks. So,
which the Refinery is a place for men who are transitioning out of homelessness.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because when you said Refinery, my mind went to the salon haircut.
Yeah.
I'm like, so there's a Refinery in Opelousas?
People need haircuts, man.
Okay, so that's good. That's a good thing happening.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it? Okay. Yeah. All right. And Ryan, closing statement or anything that you want
to
bring up?
I just want to stress, you know, to support your local business. You might pay a few extra bucks if you're shopping local, okay? But really the money just it stays here, and it helps families, and it helps people dreaming of getting to that next level. I want to say that I want to shout out some of the small businesses that I do business with. Scott Eye Care does. My brother-in-law owns Sign Design Pros. They make signs out of Broussard and promotional materials. I work a lot with them and Holko out of Scott. They make like my little promotional bags and things like that. I want to shout out Chopsticks, because I know y'all want PF Chang's really bad, but I really love Chopsticks a lot. Chopsticks is one of my favorite new restaurants. Also, I love Royal Curry. Mm-hmm. I'm going there tonight. Man, there's just so much good local restaurants and good people at local business. Try to think there before you click on buy on Amazon. Try to think local first if you can.
No, and I agree with you. And you mentioned P.F. Chang's. So let me tell you my stance on P.F. Chang's.
I don't care about P.F. Chang's, to be honest.
So, Chopsticks is awesome. I like P.F. Chang's. There's a lot of people who do. There's some people who say it's not good. I like it.
However, every time I've been there, I've waited over an hour, though. So
yeah, it is a busy place. One thing, though, is it can stay in Baton Rouge. I don't mind. If I want P.F. Chang's, I will drive to Baton Rouge. Just go. But if it comes here, I would feel like weird if it came here and everybody got super excited about it and it didn't work. Like, I don't want to see that. Like, I guess what I'm saying is I'm okay with keeping the idea like, oh, maybe one day, sure. I don't think it's ever going to happen, because everybody that likes PF Chang's is driving to Baton Rouge, and it would hurt their business if they put one here. But you said Chopsticks, and Chopsticks is good. My only thing with Chopsticks is they are so authentic, or in that realm of being authentic, that they've gotten rid of their chicken breast. They don't have chicken breast, and I'm a chicken breast guy. And so the only thing that I ordered on the menu when they first opened was orange chicken, because it was lightly breaded chicken breast.
Mm-hmm.
And they got rid of chicken breast. It's only dark meat, and I'm not a big dark meat guy.
Okay. I mean, I understand.
So and I know some of the owners there. So I'm trying to get them to like put the breast meat back on,
sure.
Because I want to go there. It's good, And
love the atmosphere. I love that restaurant.
And their goal isn't to be P. of Chang's for Lafayette, but they have an opportunity to feel this more higher end version of Chinese food in Lafayette that would normally be a P. of Chang's. They have that opportunity to fill that void. And I think I hope they keep at it. I hope they keep tweaking their menus and add some chicken breast to that menu, please. Because I want to go and I want to order chicken breast and not dark meat. But the other stuff, man, they had like some fried cheesecake wontons. I don't know if you've had those yet.
I haven't had that yet. Mm-mm.
Drizzled with, I don't know if it was strawberry or raspberry. Amazing. Good stuff. I'm a sweets guy. So,
sweets and chicken guy.
Oh, yeah. Sweets and chicken. Like, let me not get started on food. Look, Lafayette's a food city. Mm. If you have not seen how many restaurants we have here, it's ridiculous.
And I want to go to them all.
I know, and I don't have enough money to go to them all. Yeah. Real.
We live here, and it's impossible to visit all of them.
It is. But, and there's like
but
10...
Then you find one that you love, and you keep going there.
Yeah.
Taco Sisters.
Taco Sisters is amazing.
Since you took me there that day, I've been 8-9 times probably.
I go every week.
It's so good.
So that was one of your first times?
The first time I had ever been was just a couple, 2 or 3 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I was on Johnston. I was headed somewhere else anytime I was in the area. And then whenever we shot our little thing, we went to Taco Sisters after that. It's the first time I'd ever been there. It's the best salsa in town.
Good salsa.
In my opinion. Oh, my
awesome
gosh.
Brisket. Everything there is good.
Yeah, they have a brisket burrito and our brisket tacos too. I mean, their tacos, you order, I'm a small eater and I order one taco. That's all I can eat from them guys. They're huge.
They're huge.
The burritos, even bigger.
Yeah, burritos.
It's 2 meals in the burrito, basically.
It is. It is. You know, and to be honest, the price is not that bad.
No.
I can get out of there with spending about $10, you know, and that's with a sweet tea and a burrito, roughly around that. And then, of course, I tip. So you hit that, like, $12 mark, roughly. But
that's cheap these days.
For what it is, for what you get, and it's local, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And I have to take a little bit of Tums afterwards sometimes, you know, because there's so much spice. But Taco Sisters is amazing. Tula Tacos opening in downtown. They're good. I tried them recently.
Very flavorful. I like Tula.
I love Mexican.
And I will say Papa Loca on Cameron Street. Very authentic.
Still haven't been there yet.
Very, very, very authentic. Very delicious.
Papa Loca, is that right off of Ambassador?
So it used to be on ERS Landry. There's like this small striped orange and white building that keeps changing.
Okay.
But they did so well that they moved to a bigger location. It used to be a restaurant that served place lunches, and I can't remember. But it's right at Ambassador and Cameron.
Behind the old Hit and Run. Or Hit.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that store closed. Hit and Run. So, man, look, we could talk about, like, I wish I could just have a podcast talking about food.
Yeah.
Because we're getting close to lunchtime. We're about 20 minutes away from the 12 o'clock hour. I want to go ahead and close this off so we can go have our lunches. But I really appreciate you guys coming on. I'm hoping that this was good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was cool. I enjoyed it.
Okay, because there's so many things we could talk about in Lafayette.
Right.
And I'm glad I was able to give you guys perspectives on the article that came out, because there was a lot of heat around, like that was a month and a half ago, roughly, or 2 months. There was a lot of heat on Facebook about the chains and seeing Topgolf and Bucky's, which we're never going to get those because they already, you know, exist elsewhere super close by. But Lafayette's going to keep growing. We're going to get more chains, but we're also going to get tons of more local places. Like, mm-hmm. There's so many local places that are coming. It's unreal. And I just want to reiterate to anybody listening, if you have a business and you want some exposure, let me know before you open. Let me know from when you start planning it, and then I'll help you. I'll help you get noticed. I'll help you get some advertising done, and I try not to gouge your eyes out with pricing. But that's the show, guys. Anything else you want to say?
That's it, man. Thanks for having
us. I think
that's
about it. Real quick, I'm involved with a business you mentioned that was developing a couple years ago called Barkopolis.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
The lease didn't really work out. for us. But
is it coming? Is it coming?
The owner is active in looking for a new location.
Sweet.
So keep your eye on that again.
Barkopolis. All right. So still same name, Barkopolis, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Her plan, if you're not familiar, is to have a dog park with a bar attached to
it. Yeah. That. Yeah. That was so, the plan. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Barkopolis.
Nice. Cool. Well, guys, appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great Friday the 13th. And if you're listening after today, it was Friday the 13th. So that's why we mentioned it. Well, y'all have a good one, guys. And I appreciate
it. Thanks for having
me. Thanks so much.
For information on sponsoring the Tea Podcast by Developing Lafayette, go to our website at developinglafayette.com and click Advertise.